Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Series about He Was, I Am. This week we're talking about He Was Peace, Jesus. He Was Peace, I Am Fearless. How to live a life free from fear. And I don't know if you've ever been on a... How many of you like roller coasters? I love roller coasters. How many of you just do not like them? I understand, but well, really I don't. They're a lot of fun. But there's some... But now there are some of you that are roller coaster junkies that never... This never crosses your mind. But the older you get, when you get on a roller coaster, as you're going up that hill, the thought crosses your mind, you are so stupid. As you just slowly inch your way to the top and you're thinking, this is the stupidest thing you've ever done in your life. And then it's that anticipation of just when you go down the hill and your stomach stays at the top, you know. And that's exactly what life is, except it's not as predictable. And I want to talk to you about how to live a life free from fear. In John 14, Jesus said these words. He said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Jesus is bequeathing you, leaving you when he leaves the earth. He said, "I'm going to leave you my peace." Now, the peace I leave you is not like the peace the world gives. Now, the world does give a form of peace. In this world, we've all had things we've experienced that brought peace to our life. And they're always external and they're always circumstantial. But that kind of peace can go away with a phone call. That kind of peace, all it takes is for my circumstances or yours to turn, and that peace is gone. It doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have. That peace is fleeting, and Jesus said, that's not the kind of peace I'm giving you. I'm giving you my peace. I'm leaving you my peace. And he said, as a result, you don't have to permit your hearts to be troubled. Neither do you have to live in fear. So this morning, my hope is that I want to teach us today, and hopefully we all can learn, and I learn along with you, how to divorce ourselves from the companion of fear and marry a life full of grace and faith in God. Because fear is subtle. See, most of us, all of us, when fear becomes embedded into our life, it's not obvious. There aren't things that you get up in the morning and say, well, I'm afraid of this and I'm afraid of that. That's not the kind of fear I'm talking about. That kind of fear is pretty obvious. Most of the fears that govern our life have slowly embedded into our belief system. And they've told us that this is where you can go, this is where you can't go. And those kind of fears just kind of embed in you. You start to simply believe them. And all of us have those kind of fears. There are many people this weekend who will come to church with a fear of people. They're just afraid. They're always expecting somebody to harm them. So when they come to a place where there's a lot of people, they often keep themselves isolated and they don't know anybody. So one of the things they'll say is that no one loves me and no one cares about me, and that's not a very friendly church. The next thing that often happens is they'll come with an expectation that people are against them. And it's a subtle fear. They don't rationally think this. It's just what they believe. So they walk into church and they're coming into the sanctuary and they're walking past somebody who doesn't make eye contact with them, that they've had a conversation with that they know. And immediately their mind goes to, why don't they like me? Why are they feeling that? What did I do to them? And then they see that person stop and talk to somebody else. And then turn around and glance at them and pass them. And then they conclude, they're talking about me. That happens to people all the time. And they'll build a whole case based on fear. And when you unpack it and you bring the facts to light, not one thing they believed was even true. And yet they're sitting in this service perhaps right now feeling badly because of something that never happened. Because fear taught you how to live. Fear is a lousy leader. It's a lousy leader. Listen to what the scripture said in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Since we, God's children, are human beings made of flesh and blood, Jesus, became flesh and blood also by being born in human form. For only as a human being could he die, and in dying break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Everybody say, had the power. Aren't you glad he doesn't anymore? And also, that he might deliver and completely set free all those who through the haunting fear of death were held in bondage and living in constant dread throughout the whole course of their lives. Most people live with a haunting fear of death. Most people, even many Christians, are afraid to die. Because, and so people fear dying. And it haunts them all their life. It's not something that that's overt. It's not something on the front burner, as it were. It's haunting. It's that we don't let it even cross our minds. And as a result, people make a lot of decisions based on the fear of death. Many Christians are afraid to die. People fear death because they actually are afraid to be in the presence of God. They fear dying because they fear rejection from God when they die. Even if you're a Christian, you begin to think, man, when I stand before God, will it really be enough what Jesus did for me? Or is he going to look at my life and my situation and the things that I shouldn't have done, that I know I shouldn't have done, and at that, boy, is he going to, he's going to put the, I just don't want to die. Oh, God, I don't want to die. Oh, Jesus, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Now, if you don't know Christ, you should fear death. Because God paid an enormous and awful price to purchase your soul. And if you accept Christ, that's a wonderful thing. If you reject him, you ought to fear death. Because he's the only way to eternal life. So that's a realistic fear you ought to observe and honor. But I want to teach you this morning, I want to help all of us, myself included, to dishonor the voice of fear. Give no honor to fear in your life. Give it no place. Don't let it be the Lord and Master of your life. People fear dying because they fear judgment from God, and they fear living because they fear rejection from people that they love and respect. People are afraid to live. Fear just simply in it subtly embeds in your life, and it can take 1,000 different forms. There can be people sitting in this room right now, you fear relationships. And you may have really good reason to fear them because of what you've experienced. And fear will begin to line up evidence that causes you to push away from God's best for your life. Fear is a terrible, 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 terrible leader. Life, we all know, it's a roller coaster ride. One minute you're going up, the next minute you're going down. And it's not as fun sometimes as a roller coaster can be. But the fact of it is, most people are terrified of the ride. And I want to encourage every one of us this morning to take the ride. I mean, to go for it. Live your life full of faith, full of grace, instead of being governed by fear. Because the Bible tells us fear has torment. And a life governed by fear is a life governed by torment. And a tormented life is no life at all. And yet, if we don't know how to resist fear, see, we make negotiations with fear all our lives. We'll make decisions based on what fear is telling us. And you never win that negotiation. We never win it. Because fear will cause you to build walls in your life. If it's relationally, it'll cause you to build walls of protection. And you'll actually build these walls, and they'll become a prison that you have to live behind the walls. Many people have actually accepted a life sentence living behind those walls that they built. And we do it innately. We don't do it, like, we don't get up strategically and build these walls. There's so many people in this room, I don't care what your age is, because the fact of it is, we get older, as it were, physically, but inside, the real you is going to live forever. You're just a baby. So I'm 80 years old, but you're going to live to be a gazillion. The government can't borrow a number as high as you're going to be alive and live in God. You're just getting started. I mean, literally, just getting started. And so the real you on the inside doesn't think in terms of finite things, because the God that made you is not finite, he's infinite. Fear puts walls up. Fear creates limits. And if you're not careful, you'll respect those limits. Now, there are some limits that fear is appropriate. If you're going across the street and there's a big old truck coming, respect that. But I'm not talking about legitimate things. I'm talking about the walls that we all have built in our life, and we don't even know we've done it. There are many people in this room that you're single because you're afraid of relationships. You've been through a bad marriage or two. Or maybe you grew up in such a dysfunctional, devastating home, you just don't trust relationships. Maybe you grew up with an abusive mom or dad, and you're looking, if you're a young man or not so young man, and you were had an abusive situation in your home, you look at, and particularly if it was your mom, you look at women with like, no thank you. And you end up living behind that wall. But see, here's the deal. Fear keeps you back from literally the purpose of God for all of our lives. It's God's plan. And today, I want us to leave believing we can live above the influence of fear and not make negotiations with it. Because here's what fear will tell you. If you'll just don't do that right now, no, just step back from that and give it time. And then time turns into a day, which then turns into a week, into a month, into a year, into a decade. And the negotiation never goes away. You never win the negotiation with fear. When you honor fear, it brings torment in your life. You know, each time God would give direction to His people, almost without, with very few exceptions, whether even to an individual or to the nation, He would always give them direction, and then He would add these words, "Now don't you fear." Why? Because fear is a constant companion to the future. And fear will always come alongside you. I don't care how much you love God. Fear will be your constant. It will always knock on the door of your heart. And it will be the great inhibitor of your life. Fear is the great inhibitor. It will keep you back from opportunities. There are people sitting in this room that you know in your heart you need to go back and finish an education. Or get an education. Because there are things in you you want to cultivate. I'm too old to do that. You're not dead yet. How many of you know you're not dead yet? If you don't know anything in the world, how many of you are at least glad you know you're not dead yet? How many of you remember Dee Washington, a wonderful lady in our choir? She's, Dee, I think, is 82. Her husband Ernie passed away last year, and they're just a wonderful couple. And she moved up to be with her children, I believe, in Illinois. And Dee sent me a letter, and she asked me, she said, "Pastor, I'd like you to check out a few churches for me. I've interviewed three pastors." She's very serious. Because I want to know where I'm going to church, that we're going to do something great for God. Because if I'm going to invest my life in a church, they better be about the Father's business. So she went and interviewed three pastors. She finally told me she'd made her final selection. She said, "Would you check them out for me?" So to speak. Do you know anything? Could you look up, the website, whatever? And then just a couple lines in the letter she wrote, she said, "Oh, and I'm in college again, taking courses." Now he said, "Well, doesn't that lady know she's in her 80s, not going to live forever?" Nope. Because you want to know why Dee cares what church she goes to? She wants to invest her life in something productive. She's 82. Now you'd never know it by talking to her or really looking at her. But I'm telling you, she's wanting to know, can my gifts be used in this church? If they can, I'm not coming. I'm going to find me a church where you're doing something. And I have to tell you, at 82 years old, we probably didn't, stoke her musical fires in our church. I don't think the style we did necessarily made Dee the happiest woman on planet Earth. But you know what? She didn't care. She cared something more than just her simple preferences. And all of us can live life like that on purpose. Incredible person. And you get around someone like Dee and you think, man, what an incredible person. It's just somebody who just made a decision with all the reasons that we all have to not honor fear in her life. Every one of us have to make that decision. Fear is the great inhibitor. Fear will tell you no before you ever even get the chance to consider a yes. Now here's one of the worst things about fear. Fear will remove God from the equation. It's literally what it does. Fear, based on past circumstances, based on future forecasts, will operate from this assumption, and it's deadly. It operates from the assumption that God will be absent from your future. That's the bottom line to what fear teaches you, is that God will be absent from your future. And so fear becomes the invisible lid on the fulfillment of God's dream for people's lives. Either fear or grace and faith are going to be your leader. One is going to lead you into life and peace. One is going to lead you into torment. But fear becomes an invisible lid. Now, in my vocation, I'm a pastor, obviously. And so I've interacted with just more pastors than I can remember. And I've talked to pastor after pastor after pastor. And they'll often call because, you do this for a while and people are younger, they might just want some advice. And the church has grown considerably. And so when I talk to pastors, the way they talk, I can tell whether God's leading them or fear's leading them. I don't mean this has happened once or twice. I can't even remember how many times a pastor said this to me. John, we are bursting at the seams. We're in multiple services. We're out of room. And so I said, well, what are you doing? So we're praying about whether we should build or not. I said, oh. I said, what do you mean? Our team, our leaders, we're fasting and praying to see whether we should build. And all they've said to me, oh, you know what he just said to me? Fear has told me to stop, and so we're going to go blame God while we just sit on our tail and wait for fear to give us permission. And let me tell you what fear will never do, give you permission. It's never going to happen. Fear says when Jupiter aligns with Mars, and when the sun rises at just the right time and peers through the trees in such a way as to create a cross on the wall, when that happens, and your coffee is just right, you can act. And so I've said to pastor after pastor after pastor, I said, can I save you a whole lot of time? Yes. I said, go build something now. Yeah, but what if it's not the will of God? I said, do you know how stupid that sounds? It's not the will of God. God, is it your will that we build a church? No, I'd rather y'all build Walmarts. It's fear will take... It'll just make you stupid. All right? Two kids get married. They're in their 20s. They love each other. They don't have a lot of money, so they get this little apartment. It's a studio apartment. It doesn't even... All it has, the only other room other than the big room is the bathroom. And it's just... I mean, the thing's maybe 400 square feet, the whole thing. They got a table. The bed falls out of the wall. And it's cute. I mean, they're having... you're first married. Who cares? And you love it, and you're in the place you want to be in, and you're together. And then all of a sudden, your wife comes out with this little, out of the bathroom with this little pencil-looking thing and says, we're pregnant. Woo-hoo! And then you go for your first sonogram and you're sitting there and all of a sudden you hear, oh! You go, oh? Yes. There's two. And then the guy's weak in the knees a little and they go, oh! That's exciting. And she says, oh, there's three. And now the guy passed out on the floor. And they're smelling salts. They're going to have triplets. And they're in that little studio. And they've got just 400, 500 square feet, the whole thing. And here's what that young man does. His wife says, what are we going to do? He said, we're going to fast and pray and see whether we should live here forever. How many of you know they ain't having no more kids if they live there ever again? You'll get the math on the way home for that one, all right? You don't need to pray about it. You bet you get you out of that thing or you're going to have a marriage very long. You raise three toddlers in that place and you're putting them all... You've got to find you a place to fit your family. If God's family gets bigger, build something. Yeah, but what if God won't show up? Are you kidding? He died on a cross to build the kingdom. And pastors are praying about whether we should get more seats for people. Is that crazy? I mean, it's nuts. That's crazy stuff. Because fear will make normal what is absolutely abnormal to a spiritually minded man or woman. Fear will tell you what you can't and can't have in your relationships. Fear will make you settle in the mediocrity of your marriage. Fear will tell you don't take the risk. Don't take the risk to love without being loved back. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 31. God spoke these words to Joshua through Moses. And listen to what God is saying. He said, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear and do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of Israel, Now you be strong and of a good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you, and not nor will He forsake you. So do not fear, nor be dismayed. Now that sounds simple, but let me tell you something. This is Joshua getting the baton passed to him from Moses. He didn't ask for this job. God called him. Now you have to remember, Moses is a pretty awesome guy. Remember, he was the guy that went to Pharaoh and said, Let my people go. How many of you know that story? You know, all the plagues, river turns to blood, death of the firstborn, all the frogs. How many of you know all the stories? And then they get to the Red Sea. Joshua's watched all this, and Moses goes up to the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army's behind him, takes his stick, touches the water, and it parts. They walk on dry land, and then the waters consume the armies of the Egyptians. Joshua's seen all this. Joshua's watched God in the wilderness feed them with quail from heaven. Bread literally falling from heaven, manna. And a rock, Moses hits it and water pours out of the rock. I mean, he's seen all this. And Moses comes to Joshua and says, Josh, listen. God told me I can't take the people into the land. I've made some mistakes here that's going to preclude me from leading them in. Oh, by the way, he said, you're going to do it. And then the next thing he said, but don't be afraid, for God will be with you. See, notice that the first thing God deals with when it comes to your future forecast is the issue of fear. And the way he deals with it is this, is that all fear is rooted in the absence of God from your circumstance. The belief of the absence of a living God from the circumstance of your life. So Joshua, I can imagine him thinking, man, Mo couldn't do it. Mo couldn't do it. I can't do it. So Moses, he's thinking, man, they tried to kill you. They hate you. They wanted to go back to Egypt, all this stuff. And Mo, me? You can't be serious. Me? And he said, but wait a minute. Joshua, don't be afraid. Because your fear is rooted in the fact that you don't believe He'll be with you. Can I tell you something about God? That the minute you begin to act in concert with the will of God for your life, when you honor Him and obey Him, and I don't care what arena of life that's in, He shows up. And people assume when God shows up in somebody's life that the person that He showed up for is smart or bright or gifted. That's not necessarily the case. They were smart and gifted enough to do what God said. And they yielded to God and they didn't honor fear. And they refused to honor the voices of other people. Don't listen to people who don't have God's interest at heart for you. Can I give you some real good godly advice? Listen, don't live your life in the heads of other people. Don't try to figure out what other people want from you. Learn to please an audience of one and honor God. Don't live your life, now I wonder what they think, and you start to think about what they think. And so if they think that about, I think what they think, is that this is what they think, so I better do this so they'll think that. And you end up living in this spiral. Think what you think they thought when she felt what she said and he said over there. And before long, you're living your life so externally. Life gets really, really simple. When you look at your husband or your wife and you say, we are going to do this God's way. And I don't care what we've experienced, and I don't care what we've already experienced in our marriage, God is with us. And His grace and enablement is going to show up. In this mess that we've made of our life, He's going to turn it around. And I'll tell you what, a man can do that and change his whole family. So, baby, look, I know, look, you say, well, honey, you've been stupid through the years. And you know what? I'm still a little stupid. But you know what? He's with us. And we're going to yield to Him. And we're not going to let the way your family raised you and the way my crazy family was dictate our life. This changes today, not because of our goodness or our power, but because He's with us. He's for us, and the greater one abides on the inside of us. And you begin to wake up tomorrow morning, and you begin to make decisions based on the fact that you believe He's with you. Because fear literally tells you He's not. And it's that absence. Before God asked Joshua and the people not to fear, He made certain that they would know, I'll never leave you, and I will never, never forsake you. So don't live on the basis of fear, because fear will forecast your future based on the assumption God's power and grace will be unavailable for you and absent. What faith does is just the opposite. Faith operates from the assumption that God's for you. How do you know that? Because God's word says He's for me. He said, I'm for you. I'm with you. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And you know, people say, well, the Lord be with you. And I this may be sound somewhat sacrilegious. I don't mean it to be. But it kind of, when people talk about God, it better be real. And when it just becomes some religious bywords, it's to me, it's offensive. You know, where people say, the Lord be with you and also with you. Let us greet one another, turn and the Lord be with you. And also with you. Amen. Who talks that way? Come to church and just go stupid. Can you go up to your wife and go, hey, honey, the Lord be with you. And also with you. What is He with you for? Is He with you to be a hitchhiker? Is He with you to be an observer in life? My Bible said He is with you to deliver you. Now, it's fine to say the Lord be with you, then you need to deliver me, to set me on high because I've known His name, to cause me to be the head and not the tail, and above only and not beneath, to cause me that all I set my hand to will prosper. Don't tell me God shows up somewhere and leaves it like He found it. My father taught me better than that. One of the things my dad taught me my whole life, boy, you walk into a room, leave it better than you found it. But I didn't mess it up. Shut up, boy. I don't care what you messed up. You go into a room. I don't care if you own the room, who's in the room. You make it better than when you left it, when you found it. You make it better. Now, my father had enough sense to tell me that. You think God shows up somewhere, leaves it worse? God will show up in a marriage. He'll make it better than you dreamed. God will show up in your kids' life and make their lives better than you thought possible. I know there's stuff that happens. Things happen in life, but God's faithful. And when you begin to walk by faith, you expect God to show up. You expect your future to be wrapped in the presence of God, in the resources of heaven. And you refuse to give honor to fear in your life. And I can tell you just from my own experience in my personal life, my own experience in pastoring this church, every step we've ever taken, fear has shown up and knocked on my heart and said, hey, listen, look in the mirror. You don't have what it takes to lead a church like this. I look back in the mirror and say, you're right. Absolutely right. I'm so glad I don't have to do it by myself. I'm so glad I have a greater one on the inside of me. I'm so glad that Jesus has been made to me wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That's what the Scripture said. So I go in tomorrow accepting wisdom from God, expecting wisdom from God, because He's always present with me. And so wherever we step, whatever problem we face, how many of you know God's never saw a problem and went, Shazam! That's 3 Gomer Pyle, verse 5. How many of you remember Gomer? Shazam! Okay, well, anyway, how many of you have never heard of Gomer Pyle? All right, God bless you. Google him, you'll get to watch it. It's a cute show, you know. Joshua 1:8, listen to what God says. We'll wind this down. Now He's talking directly to Joshua. He said, Josh, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Everyone say prosperous, good success. Now, would God give you a recipe to be prosperous and have good success if He didn't want you to have it? No, He wouldn't. He said, now, if you'll do this, you will make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and be of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And what He's telling him is simply this. Josh, you're going to make your way prosperous and have good success because your decisions are going to be rooted in the faithfulness of your God and not governed by fear or the absence of God in your tomorrow. And so He's simply saying to him this, Josh, you will make your way prosperous. Wait, I thought God prospered people. He does. How does He practically do it? By the decisions that we make. When fear is the leader, you make decisions absent an expectation of the power of God, and you withdraw from the very resource that will lift you up. But when faith and grace and an expectation of the goodness of God show up in my life and I yield to that, I start to make decisions based on an omnipotent God, an omnipresent God, an omniscient God. And I don't look at me now. I look at Him. I don't look at my limits. I look at His infinite capacities. And so I step into my tomorrow. Fear's always present. Fear's always saying, are you out of your mind? I've had people say that to me. Can you imagine? My wife can imagine it. She said it a few times to me, but that was another story. We'll do that when the marriage teaching comes up. But people, had to say to me, you must be out of your mind. I said, I've spent my whole Christian life trying to get out of my mind and get into His. I don't want in my mind. So I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. Keep it. No one wants a piece. You don't want a piece of it. You're giving it away. Hold on. I want God's mind in the matter. The Bible said you have the mind of Christ. You can live your Christian life expecting God in your tomorrows. And that's what He said to Joshua. You see, our lives are not going to follow what we hope for. Our lives are going to follow what we believe and what we expect from God. And so I want to encourage you this morning. Tomorrow when you get up, today and this afternoon, I want you to think where fear subtly has showed up in your life. And I want you to dishonor it. I want you to tell it no. I want you to not yield to it. I want you to speak to it. And you have to resist it. And you have to do exactly what Joshua was told to do. Let what God says come up in your mouth. He said, listen to what He said again in Joshua. He said, you don't let what I said about you depart from your mouth. What is He saying? Walk around quoting Scripture all day? No. He said, don't you give voice to fear. Don't you start mouthing off about what fear came and told you. Stop honoring, respecting, and giving reverence to fear. Take what I said and realize that I show up to bring it to pass and talk it like I'm going to be present in your tomorrow and expect me to move. I want to hope, my hope today is that I've built by the grace of God an expectation in your heart, no matter what you face, no matter whatever fears have tried to capture you, that you can grasp the peace of God. You can step into your tomorrow expecting God. Expecting God. I don't mean religiously, oh, I'll be with you. I mean God show up in your everyday life and lift you on high because you've known His name, and to take you from the dregs of whatever and lift you to a high place because that's who He is and He loves you. He loves you 1,000 times over. Your Father loves you. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for Your great grace upon every heart and upon every life. I thank You for Your amazing mercy that's upon every heart. I pray that not one of us in this room, not one person under the sound of my voice will honor fear, will bow their knee to fear and give it reverence. But Lord, we'll see it for the enemy that it is, the tormentor that it is. And that the things that are lying dormant right now in our heart, that fear has put the lid on, that You'll blow that lid off and we'll trust You. And You will take us places we never dreamed possible. You will do things in our marriages we never dreamed possible. Things for our kids we never dreamed even possible. In every realm of life, You will show up because You are faithful and we trust You. And I pray that over your people. His heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as the Lord of your life. If today you were to draw your final breath and slip into an eternity, I want to make certain you know where you're going to spend it. Jesus died to make men and women free. Jesus said there's a heaven and Jesus said there's a hell. And the only way you make heaven, He said, is by making Him the Lord of your life. He said, for I am the way, truth, and life, and no one comes to the Father except through Me. Because He's the only one who died and paid the debt that you couldn't pay. And oh, the awful price He paid to purchase your soul. So today I would ask you this. If you don't know that you've ever given your life to the one who gave His life for you and accepted Him as the Lord of your life, I want to encourage you to do that this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I didn't ask you if you're a good person. I didn't ask you if you're religious or were baptized or had some sacrament of a church. There is no sacrament of any church that will make you a Christian, including this one. There is no church or church membership. There is salvation in no church, including this one. No pastor, no priest, no religious figure, only in Jesus. And if you're not certain that you've invited Him into your life, don't leave here without accepting the one who died for you and receiving Him as the Lord of your life and letting Him make you brand new, your sin debt canceled. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to know that Jesus is the Lord of my life. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I will pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray the prayer out loud and together with you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just simply raise your hand right where you're seated and we'll pray. Do it right now and I'll pray for you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? One last moment. The lights are bright, so help me. You have to raise your hand high so I can see it. If you've not yet raised your hand, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand back down. Thank you. Thank you. If you raised your hand or should have, please pray this out loud where you hear it with your very own ears. Christ will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And He will be present in your every tomorrow. Let's pray this together where you hear it. We'll pray it together with you. Say out loud, say, Heavenly Father, I come to You in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear the debt of my sin. I open the door of my heart and the door of my life. And Jesus, I invite You in. I receive You now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank You for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. And I confess boldly that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Would you give them a hand, please? Amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.